Fly.
702. The Friday Mix. Food.
Right, it's 18 minutes past one, and just stay on our timeline because you will be seeing the kind of food that we got to enjoy a little bit earlier on. So there is a new bar in town, and they say it's not an ordinary pub. It's not an ordinary bar. J Rabbit Tequilera launched not too long ago, and they are doing some of the finest food and some of the finest cocktails you have ever had. So joining us now is the owner of J Rabbit, Paul Lycos. Good afternoon, Paul.
Thanks for having me, Azania.
Thank you for being here. I mean, everybody that just heard you now knows that you are not South African.
Surprise.
Yeah, so what's your heritage?
So I was born and raised in the U.S.
Yes.
My parents are, my mom is French, my dad's Greek.
Mm.
So as you might imagine, with the Greek dad, I grew up in the restaurant business.
Yeah.
And we lived for many years in Arizona, which is next to Mexico. So I was really exposed to proper South American and Mexican cuisine and tequila, of course, you know, which
yes.
is the which is the drink that we've sort of based our bar around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you and your partner, Bridget Labuskagne, she has a lot of experience in the liquor industry.
Thankfully.
Thankfully.
More than me.
Yeah. So you bring the food and
correct.
She brings the alcohol
correct.
Side of things.
Yes.
So let's look at that side of it, the cocktail side of it, because it also informs the food
sure.
and what you offer on your food menu.
So basically, we wanted to educate a tequila to South African market that is much more than what you experience right now.
Yeah.
So essentially, we are offering pure agave tequilas that come from Mexico that you can experience in many different ways. They can be featured in cocktails. They can be sipped like a good scotch if they're aged. And the most brilliant thing that my partner came up with was to feature tequilas in cocktails in ways that you don't know that you're actually drinking them.
Wow.
So most people pull a face, they drink it frozen, but we actually have such high quality tequilas that you can experience in so many different ways
mm-hmm.
and an experience that you could educate it on, and all in a beautiful setting.
So we are doing it wrong, right? Many of us do tequila wrong?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say wrong, but if you talk to the guys who actually, you know, create the stuff in Mexico, they would say that.
Yes.
And so, but of course, we associate tequila with having a good time. And that's kind of why we picked that spirit to build a bar around. Because, mm. you know, a lot of sort of fun and a joviality around that spirit. But again, people see it in a constricted sense of just enjoying it as a shooter, on a jol at night,
yes.
as opposed to a drink that you can experience in a multifaceted way.
Yes, and we're supposed to sip it
so
instead of
proper,
swinging it down.
Correct. So you sip a tequila because you have tequilas come in basically three different varietals. You have mm-hmm. Blanco, which is unrested, which is a clear spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You have Reposado, which means rested in Spanish, and that's typically around 6 months aged. Typically, again, in a kind of either a cognac or a wine barrel.
Yeah.
And that has a nice golden color to it. And then Añejo, which means aged in Spanish, which is about a year or so old.
Right.
And again, that's a bit darker amber color. And the older the tequila gets, the more structure it has, the more notes, the more flavor it has. And again, a really good tequila, which you're probably paying, let's say, 100 rand a shot for, you don't want to throw back.
Yeah.
You actually want to sip and enjoy.
It. Absolutely.
And it's really how it's enjoyed in Mexico.
And there's the tequila face. But as you say, if it's good quality and it's the authentic stuff, then you will savor and
not a big hangover the next day either.
So let's look at the food. So
yes.
as you said, you grew up in Arizona, and your menu is largely South American
it
influenced.
Is. It's a small menu. It's about 15 items or so.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes you on a tour of South America. Obviously, with our spirit being the national drink of Mexico, we do feature some really nice Mexican dishes, which you had today, which are obviously our homemade guacamole and our huaraches. But then we also have really nice stuff from around the continent. So you've got from Cuba, we have tostones, which you also enjoyed today. We can get more into what the actual dishes are.
Yes, we will in a short
time. And of course, stuff from Argentina, like ceviche. Sorry, ceviche is from Peru, and we have Argentinian dishes as well. So we have a lot of nice things that we sort of showcase, like a chimichurri steak. We really wanted to give you a nice supporting act, to go with our beverage. But again, it's not the star. The star really is sort of the experience with all of our drinks. But the food is the perfect accompaniment.
Yes. Now, There is also a theatrical aspect, a theatrical part to dining at your bar and having cocktails at your bar. You literally, if you're going to J. Rabbit's, you have to go through a laundromat.
That is right. So what a lot of people probably don't know, and also because we are new, but we wanted to create an experience when you come to see us. It isn't just about having good food and good drinks. We wanted to add some theater. And so what better than a real deal speakeasy? A lot of people talk about speakeasies and maybe some people get close to it, but I have yet to see a really, really good one. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to have some fun with it. So we took over a spot that used to be the Griffin in the Lovo on the corner of Corlett and Oxford. And the large part of the space is a second story with a balcony. But the entrance is a very, very small, if you will, shop front. And we didn't feel it would be successful to connect the two spaces because there's no vibe downstairs. And obviously we're paying rent on it. So why not make something? So my partner Bree said, well, why don't we do initially a fake laundromat? And we said, well, that sounds pretty cool. And then we looked at all the neighborhoods, all the residents in the neighborhood, and there was no laundry for quite some distance. And I said, well, wait a minute, why don't we actually make it real?
Laundromat.
So we made the investment, and I learned a lot about, you've never YouTube more about how to open a laundry until you were me, figuring things out, talking to people. But we got some machines, got some great staff. And we, while it's clean and tidy, it has that very sort of underground New York feel to it where, you know, is it, isn't it? People show up. They look very confused and perplexed. But the truth is,
we at the right place.
You can't, we actually do nicely with the residents, but you can actually drop off your laundry, wash, dry, fold, and iron, and then you can leave it, get drinks upstairs. But the best part is that people coming through, love the theater, and we want sort of the faux frustration of finding the place because there's no outdoor signage for it. We want it to be emblazoned on your memory. You want it to be part of the experience, and it's something that you don't forget. And I can't tell you how many frustrated patrons say, yeah, I couldn't find this place. And I said, but yet here you are. And they, yeah, you are. And now it's time for a tequila.
Yeah. So it's a bit of an odyssey, not just in finding J. Rabbit's, but also just as you go through it,
correct.
This process of discovery, like, oh, then I go up this, there's a laundromat. What people washing and ironing? Okay. Then we go upstairs.
Yes.
And voila. It's a really beautiful, tropical, luxurious setting.
We really wanted to combine elements, that are on trend right now in terms of color palettes and schemes, and some of the decorations we have. A lot of lush greenery, a lot of pinks, a lot of teals, gold. But we also have some very rustic elements like brick, exposed brick walls and some wrought iron. So the way I like to say it is sort of a Mexican cantina meets a five-star hotel lobby bar. So something for everybody. But really it's a fun experience. We're having a lot of fun doing it. People are enjoying it. And what I'm finding is people don't want to tell their friends. They want to keep it to themselves. So it's been a real pleasure sort of exposing people to that kind of stuff and having fun with the food and exploring a whole variety of things.
So let's talk about the food.
Yes,
right.
Let's.
We started off with the guacamole, with the nachos,
you know,
which is also quite classic. But I was complimenting you on your guacamole because sometimes it can just be like this mushy,
blah,
exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Avocado not at its sexiest, but you have really made it flavorful and
well,
super sexy.
Thank you so much. So it's really simple to make. And I think, you know, a lot of the credit goes to Mother Nature and fresh ingredients. And I don't believe in cutting corners. So I wouldn't make food that I wouldn't feed to my family and my friends. So why would I give it to you otherwise?
Yeah.
And that's if you use that sort of credo in life, then I think as a restaurateur, I think you will find some success.
Yes.
So with the guacamole, it's simple. We take a couple avocados, take the pits out, take them out of the husks, give them a rough dice, and then put them in a mixing bowl. And then we like to add in some tomato. We remove the pits and some of the waterier elements, keep just that tough flesh. I like to use poached garlic and everything I do because garlic has a very strong flavor. Yeah, so you basically take the garlic and you'll put it in, you take the cloves out of the skin, and you'll put it in sort of a very small pan or small pot, if you will, and just enough oil to cover the olive oil, the garlic cloves. And what you do is you put the garlic in the oil before you turn the heat on from a very low heat. You put it maybe to like between medium and low and let it cook without frying.
Yes.
And that sort of changes the sort of chemical structure of the flavor of, right. of the garlic. So you still maintain the garlic flavor, but none of the more harsher aspects of it.
Yes.
And you'll find that it's more pleasant on the palate, and it keeps well, and people enjoy it, and you get that nice mild, subtle flavor. So
it was so, so delicious. And then, of course, you had the jalapeno in it and the usual
yes,
other stuff. I don't want to give away your secrets.
Well, that's it.
But it was just sublime, I must
say. Thank you.
And then the plantain with chimichurri. And
yes.
I'm surprised to find plantain on a South American menu.
So it's interesting that you do have some sort of cross-cultural foods that, and keep in mind with the way migrations have moved
yes.
over time,
yes.
you know, you have some similar trends. So plantains feature heavily in South American food and cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm sure you're aware, it's like a starchy cousin to
yes.
the banana. Can't tell you how many times when I go to buy them at my supplier, people think like, oh, you must love bananas. I'm like, no, these are plantains.
Yeah.
And people are fascinated because they don't know how to cook them. And it is a substitute to a chip or a starch, if you will. So we basically, they're twice fried, they're smashed, and served with chimichurri sauce, which that is a traditional South American sort of accompaniment or dressing,
yes.
if you will, which is very herbaceous, very green and fresh.
Mm.
And you have lots and lots of fresh coriander and parsley, which you actually don't cook per se, but you sort of poach with a bit of warm oil with garlic that you add to with some lime juice.
Lovely.
And it
was such
nice
a lovely
contrast.
Combination. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But the combo worked
yeah.
really, really
Thank
well.
You.
I was bowled over by the huaracha.
Yes.
What you say? What, that, it means slipper.
It means slipper in Spanish, huaracha.
Yes.
And so essentially it is another version of a taco, really. So
mm.
in Mexico, there are so many names for tacos, and the name pertains typically to the shape. And to how it's composed. If it's rolled, it's a burrito. If it's flat, it's a taco. If,
right.
if it's a huaracha, it's long, and the tortilla base is long and oval shaped,
yes.
like a slipper.
But the pork on top with the
yes.
pineapples with some
so
herbs.
I'll tell you a bit about it.
Delicious.
The cool thing that we do that is traditional is using yellow corn masa, which is a rough yellow corn meal with water and salt that you mix to order and cook on a griddle.
Mm.
So you have that real flavor of street food.
Yeah.
And what you had was al pastor, which
yes.
means the shepherd in Spanish, and is the most probably quintessential Mexican sort of taco dish, which is very simple, pork neck marinated in some chilies and some other ingredients, and topped with a very simple pineapple salsa.
One of the stars. Everything was sublime, but I think
Thank
that
you.
Was certainly one of the stars.
And fun to eat.
Yes. And then your burgers. I mean, I always say on the show, I'm not a fan per se. If I get to a
yeah.
menu, I'm not choosing the burger first. I look at other things. But this was one of the juiciest,
well,
most flavorful burgers. I even took a picture of it after cutting through it. So the patty's pretty simple.
It is.
Seasoned
just
with salt and pepper.
High quality beef.
Yeah.
I use an 80-20 mix of meat to fat ratio. You want some fat for flavor,
mm-hmm.
but if you cook it nicely, the fat renders out. So you're not actually eating all that fat, but you want it in there to make it juicy.
Yeah.
And pure beef, salt and pepper, no breadcrumbs or additives.
Those sauces, everything you accompanied with it, that roll.
Well, listen, while I have South American food, I'm an American. I do need to pay homage to where I come from. And
yes.
making the burger not boring was one of my goals.
Yeah, we're out of time, but I want you to quickly tell us about the prawn burger.
Yes.
Such
so,
a fresh dish, such a fresh meal.
It's about flavors and sort of contrast of textures. So we take pure prawn meat and put in a few nice things like ginger and coriander and some garlic,
and it's
put on the flat top till it's crispy.
Yeah.
Pour pineapple salsa, cool it down with a jalapeno aioli, and you're good to go on
that
the brioche bun.
Every single thing we tasted. I mean, we all have different palates, the team
yeah.
that tasted.
Yeah.
And often you'll find maybe a member of the team saying, oh, it was okay. I liked
yeah.
it. I, you know.
Well, that makes me happy.
Right through. All three of us absolutely loved it. So, Jay Rabbits, I know you have an Instagram page.
We do.
Yes.
We are Jay Articularia. Sorry, Jay Rabbits. Tequilaria on Instagram, JR Tequilaria on Facebook, JR JRabbit Tequilaria.com.
Mm.
Bookings are essential. We open Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
And we'd love to see you guys there.
Yes, yes. So go for it. Go check it out, especially if you're a fan of Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That's where the
it's
name
a sexy
came from.
Name.
It is quite sexy. Everything about it, in fact, is super sexy and delicious. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Zani. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll come through for a visit, because after the menu that we had, a taste of the menu we had today, I'm absolutely bowled over. So J Rabbits in Illovo, corner Corlett and Oxford. That's where you will find them. If you see the laundromat, don't get spooked. Just go through it, okay, to get to the restaurant.